Tatăl Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph, Egypt Mission, Chapter 1, Shmuel Aleph. ויהי איש אחד מן הרמתיים. הגמרא says that the word "ויהי" usually, I won't say the word usually, but a lot of times the word "ויהי" does not represent a happy moment. The word "והיה" is something good is happening, usually. If it says "ויהי בימי" is always a trouble. The Gemara says, but if it says "ויהי" without the word "בימי" after "ויהי", also sometimes it's a trouble. Rather, if it's a happy thing that we're going to learn, the sentence should have started with "והיה", "היו היה", was a person. "ויהי" is because the word "ויהי" starts with "וי", and "וי" means something, "ויהי", like we say. Therefore, "ויהי" is not a happy statement. The Midrash over here on the spot says that the story that we're going to learn, it's not such a happy thing. So, Navi, "ויהי איש אחד מן הרמתיים." This is important, Chachamim say, to learn this book, Sefer Shmuel. That Shmuel is one of the Nevi'im, one of the prophets, that continued our tradition. That our tradition was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua, and then to all the judges. And this is the new start that's called Nevi'im, the prophets. And the prophets, again, are standing on the judges that was Sefer Shoftim. It's not just a story. But you have to learn now that this guy, Shmuel, is going to be transferring to us, to the next generation, something that he learned from his teacher, is Eliyahu Kohen. And Eliyahu Kohen learned from one of the judges. And this is our tradition, our Mesorah is being continued. This is why it's so important to learn the Navi, to know who was the guy, and what, if you may say, his character was, and what really went in Am Yisrael through that person. So that person, says the Navi, was the person, his name was Shmuel Kana ben Yerucham ben Eliyahu ben Toru ben Tzuf Efrati. The guy's name is Elkana, and he was Le'elevi, and he is a great grandson of Korah. Veloshti Nashim, he had two wives. Mr. Elkana had two wives. Shema Achat Chana, the first one, her name was Chana, the Shema Shem Tina, the second one Tina, Ba'ilu Pnei Yeladim, Lachanan Yeladim. Tina had children, but Chana does not have children. Allah, Yish Aru Meiro Miyamim Yamima, this was his custom. Every year what he used to do, he used to go up to Bet HaMikdash, at the time Bet HaMikdash was at Shiloh, Lishpach Avot, Mizboach, to bow down and to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiloh. Shiloh was the Mishkan was in Shiloh for 369 years. And he was going to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Sham, over there in Shiloh, besides the Kohen HaGadol, it was at the time Eli. V'Sham also Shnei Bnei Eli. Eli had two children, Chofni, first one is Chofni, second one is Pinchas. Kohanim Lashem, the service Kohanim Lakadosh Baruch Hu. Here Ayom was the day of Yizbach Elkana sacrifice, where Natan Lepnina Yishto Ruchal and Nema Zidam Elok. Pnina had children and he sacrificed. And when he sacrificed, some of the sacrifices, the owner is allowed to eat it and share some part of the animal. And he got his share. It was a Levi, it was not a Kohen. And therefore, as an owner of this animal, he got some part of the animal, so he shared it with his wife Nina and her children. Chana he used to give a double portion, and the reason is that Chana Eva Hashem Pogar Rachma. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed Chana's stomach of Mesaid, she will not be able to have children. But he, Elkanah, loves her very much. And he gives her twice as much as he gives Pnina. She has tzaratah gam kaas. Pnina used to give a hard time to Chana, b'avu harima, in order for Chana to be upset. The Gemara says, but it means she meant well. It's not just because she gave her hard time. She wanted her to be upset. And if she'll be upset, she'll start crying and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on her, and she'll have children. She cannot have any children. It means she's not even able to have children. It's not just she cannot have children. I mean, she cannot have children. And then he tells us that Nina, that's what he's doing. She's giving a hard time to her. Again, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have mercy on her. כן יעשה שנה בשנה, every year, that's what he used to do, מדי עלותה בבית השם, כן תחסנה, every time he used to come, and sometimes more than once a year, he used to come to the Shiloh, to the Mikdash, to the Mishkan Shiloh, every time he used to go over there, he used to sacrifice and bring some animals, and he used to give some portions to Chana and Pnina, and when he gave that portion to Pnina and her children, כן תחסנה. Pnina used to make fun of her. So it says, that Pnina used to tell her, did you have a chance already to finish the meat? And it's a shame you don't have a child. At least you have to have all the meat by yourself. If you don't have a child, then your child will eat the meat. So she used to remind her constantly that she doesn't have children. Every year. But it gave her a lot of heart. And Chana was upset, and she didn't eat from the thing that Elkanah gave her. One year, ויאמר לה אלקנה אישה, חנה למת עסקי ולמה לא תאכלי ולמה יירח לבבך. אלקנה told her, why you're crying, why don't you eat, and why your heart feels so bad. לא, אנוכי טוב לך ועשרה בנים, I'm to you more than 10 children, so called the Pnina, that's the Midrash says, the Pnina has 10 children. And now אלקנה wants to comfort חנה, and he says, what do you worry about? He says, you don't have children, it doesn't matter. I am to you better than 10 children. It means, I like you more than Pnina that has more children. I like you more. Yeah, I mean, it's a very nice statement. The question is, it's true. But feel, I like to have a child. So you can tell me, you know, you love me, and you love me more than you love Pnina that has 10 children. It doesn't help me. I like to have a child. So this is why I'm upset, so it doesn't matter that you comfort me. You comfort me, it's very nice that you comfort me, that you say that you like me, that you love me very much. It's true, but I'd like to have a child. So this is not the comfort to say, why are you crying? I love you. It doesn't mean anything. Atakom chana acharei ochla bishilo acharei shato, that's one time, at that time that Elkanah tried to comfort her, she got up after everybody ate and drank, אלי הכהן יושב על הכיסא המזלת אחד השם. אלי הכהן was sitting on a chair. זה מחלוקת של מדרש של החכמים, אם אלי הכהן was sitting inside בית המקדש, או just outside, it means next to the mezuzah. Because the Gemara says that really only a king from David's family is allowed to sit on a chair in בית המקדש. And of course, over here, this before David HaMelech was appointed. So of course, nobody else was allowed to sit in the Mishkan. How is it possible that this guy, Eli HaKohen, is sitting on a chair? And some Chachamim, they want to give an explanation that he was not sitting inside, he was sitting outside, right at the entrance. And other Chachamim disagree, the Midrash, in a different version, the Midrash itself brings, that the Kohen HaGadol may sit in Bet HaMikdash, and what the Gemara only means, the king is only a king that comes from the Melech is allowed to sit in the Mikdash. And here, the Kohen HaGadol also maybe has some, let me say, a higher level than the rest of the people by allowing him to sit in the Mikdash because he has a lot of Yirat Shamayim. Maybe this is what the Navi wants to tell us, how high this guy is, that he's sitting on a chair and still he will not know what's going on. ואם הרת נפש, נפש. חנה was upset, אז התפלל על השם ומחות אתכם. She was praying to הקדוש ברוך הוא, and she was crying. והתידור נהדר, ותאמר, she made a promise, and she said, השם צבאות אם ראות תראה בעוני עמתך, if you see how fell I am, how fell I feel, how bad I feel, and how poor I feel. וזכרתם ושכרת עמתך, you'll remember me and you won't forget me, ונתת לה עמתך הזה לאנשים, you're gonna give, you made, say a child, נתתיו להשם, I'm going to give him to הקדוש ברוך הוא. כל ימי חייו, all his life, הוא מורה עליה על ראשו, ילבי נזיר אותו הקדוש ברוך הוא, he won't take a haircut. היה כי ביתה להתפלל לפני השם, והיא שומרת יא, she was praying so much, and Eli was watching her mouth, to see what she was doing. וחנה היא מדברת על ליבה, mentioning what she was talking in her heart, רק שפתי הנאות, she only moved her lips, וקולה לא ישמע, she didn't say anything that anybody could hear. Everything was very quiet. It was something, a brand new thing, that all of a sudden, Eli sees that somebody comes to the Mishkan and speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that only the lips move, but you don't hear any voice.
Wasn't
the same with Shimshon? Yeah. Yeah. But Shimshon doesn't say that
the mother.
No, it doesn't say that, no. It doesn't say, this was before Shimshon, if you remember Moshe, I said, that's what Ari said. This is what the Gemara says, how we learn how to pray Lachash. The Shmonayach, the Zohar said, that you should have mainly Kavana in your heart. It comes from that Tatsuk, the Chana Medaberet Aliva. Rak Satyan Naot, you should move your lips in Shmonayach. V'kolar lo Yishamea, the Ari says, you should not hear yourself when you pray Lachash. I say, Shimshon's wife did not do it, no. Hana was the first one in the Midrash said that she taught us how to pray. The Zohar, the Ari said, the Zohar says it's crucial. They said, if you remember on Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah, the Ari says that it's better if you don't hear yourself, because when you hear yourself, some bad angels might hear yourself as well. And bad angels sometimes do not hear, even if you move your lips, they cannot read lips. They only can hear you. So you said it's crucial when you pray Lachash, you should not raise your voice, somebody should hear what you say. Because if somebody else will hear it, besides it's not good somebody else will hear what you are praying, it's also not good for the bad angels to hear what you're saying. But this was the first time that Eliyahu HaKohen saw somebody is praying like this. And therefore says the Navi, Meshavei Ali Leshukuhai, he thought that she is drunk. And the reason is because that's the first time that he sees somebody is praying, he doesn't say anything, only moves lips. Excuse me, lady, until when you'll be drunk, take the wine off you. Chana answering, no, I'm sorry to tell you. I have a very hard life, I'm upset. I didn't drink no wine, no whiskey. The old wine, the new wine, but I spoke at the Philip near Hashem, I'm just pouring my heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the tenet of Matcha, Lefnei Bat Bliyal. Do not put your maid in front of you, that she should be considered like somebody very low level. Whatever I had in mind, I was talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I'm so upset. And this is why I'm standing here to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chachamim learned from here that it's very important to come to Beit HaKnesset to do it. Of course, Chana was upset only around. But I said, the Navi says that she was praying towards the center of that Mishkan in Shiloh. To tell you that if you want to get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu something, you should come to Beit HaKnesset to do Beit HaKnesset. Rabbeinu Bachaya even says, even further, it says you should come closer to the Aron HaKodesh, you should come closer to where the Luchot is in the Mishkan or in the Beit HaKnesset where the Torah is. When you, the closer that you are sitting next to the Torah, it shows that you really mean well. As the Gemara says, the person who comes to Beit HaKnesset should not stand in the back. It says if you stand in the back, it shows that you're not interested in coming towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you should come inside. The Gemara said he should not stop praying. Right. So again, The question is, why sitting in the back? If you're sitting in the back, that's what the Gemara means. You're sitting in the back because you want to be next to the door, that you want to leave very quickly when the Chazan's in the Arizona Shabbat, you're in the car already on the bridge. That the Gemara said you shouldn't have it. You should not do it. But you sit in the back because you feel that you don't deserve to be in the front, or you have any inventory reasons that you want to be in the back, that's more comfortable for you in the back, for a reason, something, not because you like to be at the back of the shul. If you like to be in the shul and that spot, you feel it's the most comfortable place for you to pray, of course you should stay in that spot. But then generally, if you come to Beit HaKnesset, you say, okay, I find my seat in the back is the best. I like to sit in the back. I say, why do you like to sit in the back? And when I said, a person should come to Beit HaKnesset, he should go in some Beit HaKnesset, and then he should start praying. He should not be next to the door. So Ben Bachai said that the tefillah is more accepted. Again, if the conditions are that a person has the ability to sit closer to the Chal, to the Aron HaKodesh, he should try to sit there. But if he feels he doesn't deserve to be there, or he feels that he can't have the Kavanah over there, or he feels that it's too squishy, he has a reason. Of course, the reason is something that will take away that thing that Rabbi Nachman said, it's not nice for you to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sit in the back. Of course, if you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, chapter 17, I'm sorry, Vayan, Eli, Vayom, and Achille, Shalom, and he said, please go back with peace. And we say that to peace, what it means, Ve'elokei Yisrael, Yitin, Shelatech, Hashalat Mimo. God Almighty will give you your request, whatever you requested. It means, whatever you wanted, God is going to give it to you. Again, she didn't tell him what's wrong. She only said, I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu something, and he's telling her, God will give you whatever you ask. I said, if I would be Eliyahu Kohen, I mind my own business, of course, but if Eliyahu Kohen sees the lady praying so hard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she's crying, and she's talking, but we're not saying anything, and she said, I have a hard life, and this, so Eliyahu Kohen HaKadosh says, may I help you? May I help you with something? I said, maybe it's not nice. Maybe it's not nice to ask her. So this is talking about the smoker. So you are a smoker. No. The guy is smoking. So the guy comes over to him and says, why are you smoking? It's not good for you. It's not good for you. I said, you know, my father was 102 years old. The guy said, yeah? He smoked? He said, no. He minded his own business. Smoked in the farm. So I mean, Eli, you know, maybe he doesn't want to, you know, to be curious, to stick his nose in, not his business. But as a person, he is Eliyahu Kohen, of course, a very powerful person he was. Ali says he was a very powerful person. Just the regular person, and just he could not read Hanavel. He had a mistake in her entity. But his lady tells him, listen, that's my problem. At least you should say, let me, maybe I can help you. What's the problem? Maybe she doesn't have something that he can help her with. But he doesn't. He only gives her bracha. He says, God Almighty will give you whatever you requested.
No, if she was legitimate in her request, then she would have to
No, he didn't really ask her question. Right. As the Gemara says, the reason he said it is because the Gemara said if you suspect somebody, and you judge somebody for the something not good, for the worse, then you should give him a blessing. This is like something that you're going to show that you regret, that you suspected. You suspected somebody steals from you, and he's not a thief, you should bless him, the Gemara says. You can give him something or bless him. And whatever he's saying over here, the Gemara says, it's not just giving a blessing that request is going to be fulfilled. That he feels that he made a mistake, the Gemara said, by thinking that she is drunk. And of course, the way she answered him, she convinced him she's not drunk. And now he has to correct it. That correction is needed. And therefore, he's giving her that blessing. But then it says, I hope I find favor in your eyes. At that moment, after he gave her the blessing, it was such a powerful blessing, that she went back and then she ate what the Navi says before she did not eat. And then also her face changed. What it means is she was, that simple explanation means she wasn't upset anymore. Really nothing happened yet, I mean. But she maybe simple explanation means she trusted him so much, the Kohen Gadol, that he was a very important person, that he gave her the bracha. Maybe because he gave her the bracha, she felt the bracha was so powerful that now she was, if we may say, saved and redeemed from her trouble. In the morning they left, they went back home, remember Chana. And the Gemara said this was Rosh Hashanah. It's Kufot Hayamim. A few months later, Atah Chana Vatelet, she was pregnant, she had a baby boy, but he cried, Shmo Shmuel Kim Hashem Shilti. So that borrowed him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a child, was I say, on confinement. So really his name should be Shaul, not Shmuel. To borrow something in Hebrew, it means Lish'ol. So Chana is saying that she borrowed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu a baby boy, and she called him Shmuel. Really she should call him Shaul. Shaul means borrowed. Shmuel means something else. I don't know if it has any explanation, but it's not called borrowing. You should call him Shaul. ויען האיש אל קנה וכל ביתו לסבוך להשם את זה בחיימים בית נדרו. לכבי עיר ותהי אל קנה used to go up and decided he's going back and now חנה is already a baby boy and he wants her to come along with the whole family. וחנה לא עלתה. She decided he doesn't want to go. היא אמרה לאישה, she told her husband, עד יגמל הנער, until the baby will be 24 months, it means 2 years, of Yotiv, and then I'm going to bring him to Shiloh, v'nirat ne Hashem, he'll be able to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yashav shem ad olam. Then he's going to stay there for 50 years. And so called she was a nevuah, a prophecy on her side, because Shmuel died at the age of 52, and she told her husband, she said, no, I'm going to bring him. And he's going to be there forever. Forever, the Gemara says, forever, the Levim, it is 50 years. And really, he died at the age of 52. From the age of 2 till 52 is 50 years. That's what she said. That I'm going to bring him to Beit HaMikdash. He's going to be there 50 years. And he really died after 50 years that he was there, he died. It means Shmuel was 50 years as a Levi in the Mishkan. Again, he wasn't there the whole time, of course, but it means that he's going to be devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 50 years. And he was, at the age of 52, he died. Rebbe El Kanaisha, Siyah Tov Beinayich, do whatever you wish. Shviyat Gomlechoto, stay, dwell until you finish nursing him. This is for 24 months. Ach Yekim Hashem Et Baruch, I hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fulfill his promise. Bateshev HaYisha, but she stayed over there and she nursed him until the age of 2. She brought him with her at the age of 2. When she finished nursing him, Befarim, she took 3 caps. A measurement of flour, vinegar, yain, a pitcher of yain, of wine, she loved Anana. She brought him over there at the age of 2 to Shiloh. And now, if you remember, the Gemara says that statement now means that Shmuel is not really a baby, that he is really a big boy, that he knows what's going on. Not only knows what's going on, that he knows the laws, what's going on in Beit HaMikdash, some things that other Chachamim and even Eliyahu Kohen does not know. The Gemara says that when she brought him inside, he heard that his mother brought those 3 oxes, three bulls, three calves, and somebody was saying, let's get a Kohen to slaughter them. And when he heard it, he said, it's not necessary to have a Kohen. It's enough. Anyone can slaughter, anyone may slaughter. The only Kohen you need is after you slaughter the animal, in order to accept the blood and to sprinkle the blood. But slaughtering, anybody can slaughter with a Mikdash. So that halacha was not known until today. And Shmuel, he knows the halacha. It's amazing, a baby 2 years old, he knows something that no one else knows it in Mishkan. And Eli HaKohen is a Kohen HaGadol, and they're all sacrificing over there. And now until this moment, nobody knows this halacha. Maybe this halacha was taught, of course it was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe this halacha was taught to Yeshua, and Yeshua forgot it, maybe. We don't know, the Gemara says that a lot of halachot were forgotten in the time of Yeshua Binun, when Yeshua Binun became, we may say, the king of Israel. And this halacha was not known. And until this moment, every time that somebody brought the sacrifice of the Mikdash, a Kohen slaughtered it. This is the first time that we learn, the Gemara says, that today, the halacha that we know, that not only a Kohen is allowed to slaughter, this is based on this pasuk here. That halacha was taught us by Shmuel at the age of two, teaching all of Israel this halacha. Again, this halacha, Moshe Rabbeinu learned in Shemaim, everybody did not know that halacha.
How did they know what he said was true?
Right. So he brought a pasuk. He said the pasuk in Sefer Vayikra. He said, "V'zarku bnei Aaron haKohanim." He said that Kohanim is only said in the Torah from the time they accepting the blood and the sprinkle of the blood. Before that, it doesn't say in the Torah that the Kohen must be the one that slaughtered. And he proved it to Eli. And Eli, I don't know if Eli was a very Tamid Chacham, and he trusted that halacha, even though again it's not really clear in the Torah. And Shmuel said that halacha, and he said, true. You're right. Yeah. Tamadat is chot, but not kohen. Ad otu harega chashmu shira kohen yachol lishchot. Lo yirshu lav chad lishchot. Achshav pitom igia Shmuel, shoya Levi, omar shafidu Yisrael yachol lishchot. Kol achad yachol lishchot. Again, that halacha was not known until this moment. It's amazing that halacha was not known. It's true. It's amazing that this guy, Shmuel, knows this halacha. Of course, again, he didn't learn it from any teacher. I mean, if the teacher would know, Eli would know. But obviously, he was no teacher. He didn't know this halacha. So he invented this halacha. Again, this halacha is not his invention. This halacha was said to Moshe Rabbeinu, but again, everybody forgot this halacha. This is, you have to understand, this is now, we're talking about a few hundred years after we came out of Mitzrayim. This concept is the Mishkan was in Shiloh, the Mishkan was in Gilgal, people slaughtered all the time. People slaughtered in the backyard, people slaughtered in the Mishkan. Every time they wanted to slaughter for Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you slaughter, even if you in your backyard, even if you slaughter, you needed a Kohen. A person was allowed to build an altar in his backyard and to slaughter. Until they came to Shiloh. When they came to Shiloh, to slaughter in Shiloh. He wasn't allowed to slaughter in the backyard. But again, only a Kohen, the custom was that only a Kohen was slaughtering. Again, the halacha was not known that anybody can slaughter. He knows, he said, how do you know? Did you have any intention? No, you're a teacher? No, didn't have a teacher. How do you know? He took the Chumash, he opened the Chumash, he showed Eli HaKohen the Pasuk, he said, that Pasuk, and he said, alright, you're right. He said, excuse me, he said, we're talking about a few hundred years. Nobody knows that halacha, only he knows that halacha. He said, he figured out himself, I mean, it's a very nice thing. I mean, it's a very nice, and if I'm saying he's 2 years old, I mean, you can't exaggerate. Thank God that he's 2 years old, no alphabet. You know, you take today a kid 2 years old, if he knows how to count, he's a genius. And this guy, already he says halakha. I mean, how genius can you be? I mean, thank God he doesn't have a diaper and a pacifier. But to say that he knows, he makes a halachot, that the Kohen HaGadol agrees is halakha. I mean, it's all the respect. I mean, there's a limit. I mean, it's all the Torah Temet. I mean, you can't say today, in Shulchan Aruch it says that halakha, it says it was invented by maybe 2 years old. I mean, he tells it to somebody, he doesn't believe in the Torah anymore.
chazir.
It's true. To get married, I believe you can get married at three. I do believe. You go. I believe you go to kindergarten. There are some girls 3 years old, the more mature. So again, I don't know if she knows how to cook, or I don't know if she knows how to drive a car. But you cannot tell me that she teaches me halachot from the Chumash. She didn't learn from her teacher. And believe the Gemara said, praise him, and he said, it's true, 100%. The guy is right, I mean, the boy is right. That's what the Gemara said, that this is now. That he's acting like a big boy. So the Gemara says that pasuk, if you remember, I said before Rosh Hashanah, after they slaughtered this bull, and this was on his decision of Eliyahu Kohen that we don't need a coin anymore, and anybody can do it, and that's the thing, they did it. They did the way Shmuel taught them. The 2 years old taught them this halacha in the Mishkan, and they did it. They did Bebid and Al-Ali, then Ali said, get the boy over here. This is the boy, it's called the Gemara, said, Mored B'Malchut. Mored B'Malchut, it says, that boy, of course, is a genius, but we don't like these kind of geniuses among Am Yisrael. It's called Mored B'Malchut, it means that Mored Halacha B'Fnei Rabo, that the person is not allowed to say Halacha in front of his rabbi. When he does it, it's called Mored B'Malchut, it means Malchut Shamayim, it means that you rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then you have to have respect, and you have no respect, you little boy, you should not have said what you said. So what do you want from this little boy? I don't understand. What do you want from this guy? You know, he's a kid, you know. The kid goes to nursery, so he doesn't behave so well. So you come back home and says, he says a bad word to his mommy. He says, Ichi mommy. So for this you're going to kill him. I mean, you learn it from somebody in the kindergarten. I mean, you don't go kill somebody like this. So he said, no, he said halacha in front of his rabbi. And his rabbi is Eliyahu Kohen, that he is the chief rabbi, the Rishon LeZion. And this guy, 2 years old, came over here and told them we don't need it. He should not have told them that. He should ask who is the chief rabbi. He should walk to the chief rabbi, to Rishon LeZion. He says, whisper in his ear, listen, rabbi, it's not necessary to have a coin. Anyone is allowed to slaughter. Because he said in public, he deserves death. Excuse me, but he's 2 years old. But you don't understand. I don't understand you. If you talk about a grown-up person, I understand. But Chachamim said that respect is something that you have to have, and if you don't have the respect, Chachamim said that you deserve death. I understand, okay. He said 2 years old. What do you want from a 2 years old? Besides, the 2 years old is not obligated to do all the mitzvot. It's not obligated. Besides that you don't kill somebody. If a 2 years old baby kills somebody, you don't kill it. It's called a minor. It's a minor, you don't until bar mitzvah, it's called a baby. If a baby does anything, a baby steals, a baby does anything, you don't punish him. You might say that a little boy before bar mitzvah does a sin, it does something, you harm somebody, you lost it, you can't do it. If a boy underneath 13 years old, he drives the car and he begs into something, he's not obligated to pay. Because he's not responsible until the age of 13. That's the halacha. If he didn't keep Shabbat, he did something, you don't kill him, you don't punish until the 13 years old. And here they're going to kill him. Shmuel said, Eli said he's going to kill Shmuel. He says, you know, of course, some Hamim don't want to offer that he's so smart, and maybe if he's so smart that he knows how to learn this halacha even by himself, you should consider him as a 13 years old, even though actually he's only 3 years old, just because his mind is so great and big, he is going to be judged as 13. Maybe. Now, Chachamim, they won't offer. So they want to kill Shmuel. And they view it an Al-Ali. It says the Gemara, that's the finish of that sentence. Sentence 25, that's what the Gemara says, that they brought him to Eli because Eli said that he deserves to die because he has no manners. But Tomei Yad Chana is standing by, but Tomei Biyad Eli, Chen Abshecha Adoni. She said, my master, please, I'm swearing in your life. Ani Aisha in Tzivitim Chabazeh, the prayer of Hashem. Remember, I was standing over here and praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now I was praying for this boy. the Gemara that Eli told her that he's going to kill him right now. I don't know how he's going to kill him, but he said, I'm going to kill him. And when she started to cry, he said, don't worry. She said, three years ago, I gave you a promise and I gave you a blessing that you should have a boy. You're going to get another one. You're going to get even a better one. Another one, said the Gemara. And she said, no. I prayed for that one. But then Hashem etshirati, Yeshua shalati memo, God gave me that request. וגם אנוכי שלטיו להשם כל הימים אשר היה, כל הימים אשר היה, הוא שאול השם. Also, I pray for that one, and also, I land him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is being landed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please do not kill him. The man said she was able to convince Eli, and he did not kill him. וישלחו שם להשם, ובדענו את HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, at that moment, but this is chapter 2, this is what התפלל חנה, ותאמר, אסי בבשם, this is תפילת חנה, that she was praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe, at that moment, she said this kind of a prayer, because she felt that really he deserves to die, because of what he did. Nevertheless, Eli changed his mind and had mercy on him, and therefore she's going to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, this is also the Haftarah that we read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The reason why we read it, the Gemara says, if you remember, that Chana was remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah, and she was able to get pregnant because HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered her on Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't mean she became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah, but it means it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered her on Rosh Hashanah. If you remember, the Gemara says, and this is also the Shir Shel Yom, maybe which we say on Rosh Hashanah. It also, Rachel Imenu was remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Sarah, Rachel, Chana, those three, the Gemara says, were remembered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. Means we read last week Parashah that Rachel was remembered by Tzkirei Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered Rachel, this was Rosh Hashanah. Of course, anything was Rosh Hashanah, if you remember. But the Gemara says that also Rachel was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. You remember, Rachel was one of the wives of Yaakov Avinu, and of course, Leah was the second wife. Something comparable to this guy Elkanah that also had two wives, Chana and Pinah. And of course, something very similar, that Tina has children like Leah had children. At the time, of course, in the beginning, Leah could not have children, but eventually Leah had 10 children. And Chana doesn't have a child. And this is something, it's not exactly, but Yosef was child number 11, if you remember. And then Miriam number 12. And 10 children were born to Yaakov before Yosef. This is something that Pnina has. She has 10 children. But Pnina, of course, it's not Leah that had all the children. They had 6, and her maid was had 2, and Bila had 2. But the amount of children that were born before Yosef were 10. Yosef is number 11. And Shmuel is also number 11. But Pnina had 10 children, and he is number 11. Again, something very comparable, that Chana is something like Rachel. She was loved by Yaakov Avinu very much. That's the Torah says, that Yaakov loves her so much, and she doesn't have children. Eventually she will have Rachel Avinu, and Chana is something very similar to that as well. That Chana has no children, and already Elkana has 10 children, like Yaakov Avinu already had 10 children, and she doesn't have children. And again, Yaakov Avinu loves Rachel more than he loves, if we may say, Leah, that's where the Torah put it. And the same over here, Elkanah loves Chana more than he loves Pina, even though Pina is children, and that's what really he tells her that. But of course, that's not what it means. But he says, I love you more than I love the children of Pina. Again, he refers, that's not, of course, a comfort, but that refers to Rachel Imenu. Now he says like this, he says, this one of the signs, of course, that Chana, when she is praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the way she tells Eli, that she tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the child is going to be a Nazir, he will not have a haircut. And as the Gemara says, that Yosef was a Nazir as well. So of course, Nazir is something very high to be a Nazir, but the Gemara says that, if we may say it, the first Nazir that we find in the Torah was Yosef HaTzadik, who called Nazir Rechav. And this is not the second one, but this is something comparable to Yosef HaTzadik. Was Nazir, was Shmuel Navi, didn't take a haircut. Just to emphasize, Zari, that this guy Shmuel is very close to Yosef HaTzadik. Right. The Rashi says he has to take a haircut before he comes to power to show respect to power. Otherwise, the Torah would not have written that. The Torah, right, Shimshon was the second one. Right. Shimshon was the second Nazir. So the first Nazir that we know is Yosef. And this is the third one. Yeah, from birth. Yosef was not from birth. We don't know if he was from birth. Shimshon was from birth. Shmuel is also from birth. But Shimshon was a Nazir from birth, that his mother already did not have anything. It doesn't say, there's no information that I know that Chana also did not have any wine, any grapes while she was pregnant. I don't know. I didn't see any this information. And Shimshon was a Nazir because an angel came. She voluntarily decided that her son is going to be Nazir. And then again, that's what the information that he says, that Chana, what she had in mind, she understood that she's something comparable to Rachel. Because that's what the Navi says. That Chana had, that Chana had two wives, that Chana had another wife to deal with. And there's no information that there were sisters, of course there weren't sisters, like Yaakov, maybe there were some relatives, we don't know. But the idea is the same, and that's what the Navi tells you, that Chana was not able to have children, something like Rachel. In the meantime, Dina is having already 10, something less that Yosef was born after 10 children. And therefore, that's the trick, that's what Ari says, the trick, that Chana doesn't have children, she understands that she doesn't have children. And she knows, in order for her to have a child, she has to be something like Rachel. And she knows Rachel and Yosef, and Yosef was a Nazir. And therefore she says that if she's going to have a child, she's going to make him a Nazir. Because this is, if we may say, a reason for me to have a child, because I feel that I'm in the same problem that Rachel Imenu had. She didn't have any children, and Yaakov already had 10 before she had Yosef, and that's the same Elkanah. He already has 10 children. מה קורה לו? ארבע נשים. כן, היו עשרה ילדים. פה מן היו רק שניים, נכון. רבינו גרשום, the trouble was that his second wife was a wicked wife. That because of her, he was put in jail. Therefore, he came with that idea that he said that no one today needs the Shem Shemayim anymore. And it's just pure jealousy between ladies. And that put him in jail. Then he came out with his decision that nobody should marry two in order to protect her. It's not what the decision was a punishment for men. It was really a punishment for ladies because of that lady. And, that's the truth. Ladies, today are a hard time to get married. It's always like this. I once heard from one of the biggest Chachamim, and said that we're not allowed to talk about this. It's not even nice to say that. But somebody told me that, I'd just like to share it with you, that he said that the Holocaust started in Europe. One of the reasons, so there's a lot of reasons HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, but he said I would not eliminates one reason, that the girls in Europe could not get married. The girls in Europe did not want to get married, and they had the boys did not want to marry them. And the boys had demands, and they said, if you want to marry this girl, her father has to give us this, and her father has to give us this, and we have a lot of conditions. And then a lot of girls stayed to an older age without finding the real groom. And one of the Chachamim said, it was a sickness in Europe. And I heard from somebody else, he said that it's true, but this was a punishment. And this was what Rabbeinu Gershom felt at the time, that when he had two wives, and the second wife gave him such a hard time because he was married to the first wife, and then she said bad things about him to the government, and they put him in jail. He almost died in jail. At the end, he was released by a miracle. There's a story that he was on the top. The government put him in the tower. I told you this. Huh? The government put him... Told you this one?
No.
He was put in a tower on the top. And they gave him some food. And his first wife came downstairs and she said, how can I save you? How can I save you? And he said, I have for you a solution. Let's see if you can accomplish it. Says, if you take a little ant, it says, and you tie to the ant like a toothpick, and the toothpick should be in the front of an ant, but tied very gentle to the belly of the ant. But I don't know if it was an ant or something like an ant, a very small creature. And say, in the front of the ant, on the toothpick in the front, it was so smart. So in the front of the toothpick, you put a crumb. Now the ant thinks that she wants to reach the crumb, but she doesn't understand that she'll never be able to reach it, because the crumb was stuck to the toothpick, and the toothpick was stuck to the belly of the ant. So if it's like this, if this is this thing, that's right. No. See, this is that's the left ant, right, and that's the toothpick, and then on the top of here they put the crumb, and she always gonna walk up to try to reach the crumb. It says to her, so Rabbeinu Gershom was so smart, he tied to the back of the toothpick a very, very thin thread. Because if it's going to be too hard for her to pull, she won't pull it. It says, put in the front of the toothpick a crumb, in the back of the toothpick a thread. Now the ant will climb up on the tower and reach the tower, and I will have a thread in my hand. Then I would take the ant and I'll turn it around. I'll turn around the ant and she'll go downstairs to you. She'll go downstairs with you, you give another thread. And then she'll climb up again. Then she'll be too tired, take two ants. And then she'll climb up and have a thread. And so then I have another thread. Then from that thread that you get so many threads I have, I'm going to make a rope. You make a rope, I'll tie it up and I'll come downstairs. That's what he did. He came downstairs. He came downstairs and met him on the Gershom. Huh? Yes, huh? Again. So this is really the Hamim said this was the tragedy. It says the chapter starts by he. Ishechad mina ramatayim tivavim by he is a tragedy. Some Rachamim, they want even to say that he should not have married those two. He should have married only one. The whole trouble started that he has two. So Rachamim said, no, it's not exactly this. It means really something else. It means that this is a hard thing to accomplish. It's a hard thing to accomplish that you should have somebody to do that thing what Rachel and Leah had. But of course, Hashem didn't have a fight between themselves, but still, that's the way we read the Torah. Of course, it's on the surface, sounds like, looks like they did not have, the right relationship between themselves. They had some kind of, disagreement, or I don't know how to say that, but it's not a Hashem to talk like this, but he says it wasn't 100%. As we see the story with the Judaim, that Leah talks to Rachel in a nice way, Matkatechet Ishi, that was not so polite, if we may say, to each other. And we see the death after Rachel died also was kind of, as you find this is Parashah, misbehavior from Yisrael Reuven, that Yaakov wants to put his bed in Leah's tent. You see, what kind of, we say, wasn't a loving situation in the family. And that's not a loving situation. The Gemara says, again, in one version, that thing was not 100% between Chana and Pnina. But even though the Gemara says, Pnina Hashem Shamayim Nitzkovna, Pnina meant well, but nevertheless the Gemara said, even you mean well, it's not 100% you mean well. Even though she meant that if she'll give a hard time to Chana, and Chana will be upset, Chana will cry, and the Gemara will give her children, then the Gemara said, the children of Pnina died, even afterwards that Chana had even more children, but the main thing, of course, it's worse, number 11, but still the Gemara said that Chana was upset too much that caused the death of the children of Pnina. Something, says Tali, that this is something that's really a tragedy. That boy is going to be born to Chana, that he should, if we may say, replace, if we may say, not replace exactly, but something comparable to Yosef HaTzadik, that he is number 11, like Yosef was number 11. And that's why Chana is making him a Nazir. That Shmuel is going to be Nazir, like Yosef HaTzadik was the first Nazir. She said, it's a trick, if we may say, that she felt that she can do anything. It says, if you remember, Dari says, the Medrash says, that when Yosef was brought in front of Paro, Paro wanted to make him a king or assistant of the king, but he told him that in Egypt, a king or assistant of the king must know a lot of languages. So the Gemara says, the Medrash says, that's the explanation that Dudi Yosef Samor, B'Tetualeth Mitzrayim, Sfarat Yeshma, it says that Yosef tried to learn languages, but he was not, if we say, able and successful to know the languages until HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent an angel and taught him and added the letter to his name. His name is Yosef instead of Yosef. And that thing that added the letter to his name gave him, if we say, the knowledge and the capability to understand more languages. When he came to Paro, Paro had 70 steps in front of his chair. And every step that Yosef took up, Paro spoke him in a different language. Eventually, that language was taught by an angel to Yosef, and he knew it. And this was just a miracle how he knew those languages. Of course, he never studied, he never learned it before. This was something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a present to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, of course, something very similar, there's no other explanation. That Shmuel knows certain things. It says at the age of two, he comes to Beit HaMikdash, comes to Mishkan in Shiloh. He knows halachot. He knows that Shritav Shira Bezar, that anybody can slaughter. He says, how do you know? He says, the Pasuk. I see in Pasuk. He says, excuse me, who taught you this? There's no rabbis. No, none of the rabbis know it. And Eliyahu Kohen doesn't know it. He has this instinct. He knows. There is something very comparable to Yosef HaTzadik, that he knows how to interpret dreams. He knows how to behave in a certain way, and says he's going to rule Am Israel, he's going to have a big job in Am Israel, and says something very comparable, and Navi wants to tell you about Shmuel Azret. It says, you are the one that you are very capable, and your capability does not come from something that you study, it comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you know this halacha, that again, this halacha was forgotten, it was taught maybe by Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, when Moshe was taught to Yeshua, I forgot. He knows it. He knows how to learn by himself. It's the capability that you have is something very similar to yourself. So this is really what's behind it. That Yosef comes and he says the halacha, and Eli already sees that he has no respect. Shmuel, I'm sorry. This is Yosef, huh? Right. So Shmuel has no respect. He says, he comes. He says, Alachot, Beit HaMikdash. He says, who are you? A 2-year-old baby. He says, you gave the Kohen HaGadol over here. and there is no respect or something. It says, if you remember, it says, Arif Asha Dayeshev, 2 weeks, it says, Yaakov, you know, was upset at Yosef. Vayigar bo Aviv. So, of course, the Torah says, Aviv, his father kept it and remembered it. But his father told him in front of his brothers, Avon Navo, Aniv Imcha, V'chir Hashem L'cha'arta, he says, how do you come, and how dare you to say you have a dream that me coming, I'm Yaakov coming, and I bow down to you. He says, even if you have a dream, you should not say that. I mean, it's not nice to say that your father is going to bow down to you. He says, it's called disrespect. He says, when Eliyahu Kohen sees him, he says, oh, very genius person. He says, oh, he knows Allahot, very nice. It says, sounds like Yosef. He says, he's a Nazir, yeah, very nice. It says, he knows everything, very nice. He says, but also, that person has no respect. It says, that person has no respect. It says, this is Yosef HaTzadik. It says, Yosef HaTzadik, the Gemara says, in a way, the Gemara said that the punishment Yosef HaTzadik got, that he was thrown into the pit, and the other things that he had, that he had to go through, if we say is a Lashon Hara, that other, if we say is this disrespect that he had towards his brothers as well. So he says, when Eliyahu Kohen sees that Shmuel has no respect, he says, he says, again, that's the guy. He says, this is the guy. He says, again, we can have this parasha with Yosef HaTzadik. He knows Halachot, he's a Nazir, nevertheless, he has no respect. That's what Navi says. Says Dari, that Chana came and asked him, no, I was praying to this guy. And that he's, that I knew that's the whole thing. And says, but please have mercy on him, because I wanted this guy, and this is, he is number 11. He says, no, don't worry about him. I'll kill him. It's going to be number 12, number 13, 14. He says, no, I need number 11. That's what you said. Please do not kill him, do not punish him, because he is what we call Tikkun Yosef HaTzadik. It says, Chana felt that she is like Rachel, and Shmuel is like Yosef. It says, therefore, I won't be able to accomplish anything. If you give me another child, it's nothing. I have to accomplish with this guy that he is the Tikkun Yosef. I says, I want him. Please not kill him. I says, because Eli was nice to her, of course he had the right to do it, just because he heard what she said. Therefore, says, Shirat Chana, Ratzvi Hashem. He says, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, very much, that Eli had mercy on him. But again, the idea was that she really wanted to have somebody like Yosef HaTzadik.